back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett, and I'm excited to really be annoyed that the NBA has been kind of storyline wise pretty boring. Record and game wise has been amazing. So I don't want to cover highlights for 3 hours a week. So I really want to talk about college basketball. I told everybody in my basketball life that I did not want to touch college basketball for a little while, just to let it happen, enjoy it as a fan. And then I think I said this on the clock shows I was on. And when you give a crackhead crack, you just, it's just going to happen. So I went to an Austin Peay game last night, and here we are. So college basketball, and bringing back the lovely guys from Gym Arrange, Carl and Alex, how are you guys doing?
I'll let you take that one first, I guess.
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be back. Last time we were on here was a lot of fun. We miss Josh. Josh, if you're listening, we miss you. Hope you're doing well. But excited for the future of this podcast and everything you'll have coming out.
Yeah, I'll just echo a lot of what Carl said. But, you know, I'm feeling good. Had a run here to get here. But, you know, I'm excited to talk college hoops, so this should be good.
No cops listening, but he crossed traffic. He jaywalked to get here.
I ran.
Great. Well, we are going to do, as the title shows, I wanted to come up with a 21 question style format, not necessarily rapid fire, but just some thoughts that some of these things I had some thoughts about, and I'm like, I wonder what some other people in the college basketball world that I trust think. And here we are. So right out the gate, I've got 21 of them. One of them is right here behind me. That is not the first one, but the question of the day is going to be national title pick. Comment below what your national title pick is, or send me a DM on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Want to know you guys' national title picks. So like I said, no real rhyme or reason for any of this order, so we might get off track very quickly, but I wanted to start with something that's just gonna throw it off the rails, and we'll get back on the track. So
Okay. I'll
start with Carl, because he's at the top left of my screen. What is your boldest or hottest take coming into the season? What is just the thing that will light you on fire if it somehow comes true?
My boldest take going into the season. Well, I'm curious to see like how much this will overlap between like with other questions that you have. But man, my boldest take going into the season, I just don't think Indiana's that good. We'll start with that. I really don't. I don't see it. I don't think they're going to be as good as people think they are. That's maybe my boldest take, because a lot of people seem to think Indiana's this top 15 team. I'm just not there. So.
All right. So breaking that down, Alex, obviously we can comment on that a little bit. Indiana ranked 13 coming into the year. So I guess, where are you on? I know you guys talked about on the Big Ten preview. You can go in detail if you'd like. Otherwise, it's going to be right here or right here. It'll be on the screen. But really quick, where did you end up on the Indiana part? I've listened to it, but it's been a minute.
I'm higher on them than Carl is, and I think that's because I have a little more confidence in their backcourt. I think Jalen Hood-Schifino was an awesome late get for Mike Woodson. I think to a certain – I mean, that almost an entire team return, so you know what you're going to get, which – I think gives Carl a little bit of pause, because this is a team that snuck into the NCAA tournament. And I think I'm on the opposite. I'm not nearly as high as like other people are nationally. I think I had them like low teens in our ranking. And I know Carl was a little lower than that. I think they were in the early 20s. But I think for me, I'm buying into Hood-Schifino's immediate production. Like everyone else has said, Trace Jackson Davis is an All-American candidate. While I don't know if I buy the fact that he's going to shoot a couple threes this season, he is a night in, night out, 18-8 guy, which can't be understated, especially in a conference as big dominated as the Big Ten. And then I don't know. I buy their backcourt. I buy the combination of Xavier Johnson and Jalen Hood-Schifino, and then maybe Bates and, you know, Kopp can offer a little bit of that kind of like tertiary scoring that they're going to need behind those three. So I get where Carl's coming from. I would say as a group, we're not that high on them, but I certainly do not view them as like they're guaranteed to make the Sweet 16 team, which I think people are expecting.
Okay. All right. Light the world on fire. What's Alex Cervantes's hot take going into the season?
I'll give two. I can't like choose. Like I would say when we recorded our hot takes episode, which you should go check out. We did it with Greg Waddell of Sleepers Media. It was awesome, but just quick plug. But I would say my two boldest ones, like I feel the most confident about. I don't think a Duke player will make all ACC first team. And if that doesn't happen, it would be the first time since the 2006-2007 season. And then I don't think Kansas makes it out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Okay, so unpacking the first one really quick. I can see the first one just because I think I'm assuming you're referring to just they're really deep, and I just don't think one guy's going to be a standout. Is that where you landed with Duke?
That's pretty much where it is, because I think the bona fide, like if you go to a guy that a lot of people are pegging as either the freshman of the year and all ACC first team guy, it's Derek Whitehead, and we don't know the extent to which how long his timeline is for where he's out, how he comes back from that lower body injury, right? And like Duke's not going to give you a lot of information on that, and his timeline is unsure. And I'm just not sure. I'm a big fan of Jeremy Roach, but I'm not sure I can see him putting up the numbers to where you're going to put him over some of the guards in the conference, like Terquavion Smith or Nigel Pack or Isaiah Wong. Like there's a laundry list of guards in that conference that I think will stat pad a little bit more to put them on that roster. And if so, like if Roach is going to make it, I think Duke would have to like put up some otherworldly like 17-3 and win the conference.
Yeah, now that you talked that out with the guard thing, I think I'm with you. I think Love Davis is two guys that you missed. Those guys are probably both going to be on first team together, so that's two spots gone.
I didn't have to bring up the UNC guys.
That's fair. No. The other one, I mean, talk me more about the second one, the Kansas one. I mean, this is so early. Like, don't give me this, like, you know, because I feel like people are going to see it happen. If it's going to happen, we're going to see this domino fall, and it's just.
I don't think they have a lead guy. Grady Dick has impressed in those exhibition, and then I believe the first game last night. Obviously, we're a day into the season, but I have concerns about where they go with the ball when it's late game scenarios. I'm not sure you can really go to Jalen Wilson or Kevin McCullough and ask to go get me a bucket. If it's Grady, that's awesome, and this team's going to go far. But you're kind of hoping again, like it's hoping on a freshman, right? We've seen star freshmen come in. I mean, look no further than Paolo Banchero last year, but Grady Dick is not Paolo Banchero. They're obviously positionally different, but like that's the focal point you need. And so that gives me some pause, and then just not entirely sure about the front court. There's some questions there, but yeah, they just lost so much. I mean, you lost two 15 plus points per game scorers in Brown and Egbaji. So I just think that's too tough to replace.
And that's a total 180 from where we were on Kansas last year. We both picked them to as the preseason.
Win the national title.
National title. So,
good choice.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
On the flip side, since you don't think Kansas is going to make it out of the first weekend, the next question is perfect. What right now, and obviously this is not projecting your national title favorite. We're going to do that in just a second. That'll be question number two, but they'll go together. What team right now is best positioned to win the national title? Because obviously a lot can change. Injuries, you know, just situationally, team not as well in conference, whatever, right? Situationally right now, what team is best positioned to win the national title and then ultimately make your pick right now?
Carl, do you want to take this or you want me to go first?
Alex, you can go first.
Oh,
I go first? Okay. I'm thinking
in October. In November, what team is poised?
Like, because I saw some of these games last night, so, like, there's some concern.
You can take that because you can take that.
No, I'll take it, like, out. I think top to bottom UNC is,
okay.
Like, you look at their top eight and you go, like, how does this team not? They put up, like, four assists yesterday, which is incredibly concerning.
Yes.
But you look at that roster and you say, you, like, the old adage, right? Guards win in March. Like, you have two of the best ones in the country in Caleb Love and RJ Davis. You're looking for that consistency from Love, right? But if he gets on any sort of similar path that he did last March, I mean, he's impossible to guard. Baycott's one of, if not the best big in the country. Pete Nance was just an otherworldly addition in the portal. Love that guy. And then, you know, you're going to bring Puff Johnson. You're going to bring Seth Trimble. You're going to bring even Jalen Washington when he's fully healthy, right? Like that, just it's such a good team that I think.
And there's guys you're not even mentioning. That's the craziest part about them is there's guys.
Yeah, and Dontre Styles and like, you can go down the list.
They're deep for sure.
They're really deep. And so that's why I'd lean them. And Leaky Black obviously is one of the premier wing defenders in the country. So. Okay.
Carl, your team best poise, if you agree with UNC, then you can make your pick if you want. You can go ahead and just get it out of the way.
From a best poise perspective, I think I'm actually going to go with Gonzaga.
Okay.
And to some people totally out fair. There, that's going to seem like, you know, beating a dead horse because Gonzaga's, oh, they're hyped up like every year. Oh, and then they lose and they haven't won a title. Well, listen, I get it. I hear you. But here's the thing. The last like two or three Gonzaga teams have been hyped up as this is the greatest Gonzaga team we've ever seen.
Yeah.
This year, that isn't happening. And I think from like a weird narrative hype perspective, that kind of makes them a little more dangerous that they're, and I don't even think this is, I think the team with Jalen Suggs and Corey Kispert, like the team that was one win away from going to an undefeated season, I think that was the best Gonzaga team we've ever seen. This team is not as good as that team, but I think they're getting like, they were top five voted in the country. So there is that, but I do think they're not getting talked about as much as I would think for how good they are. They are like a surprisingly deep team. The one thing that worries me a little bit is like losing Andrew Nembhard is a big loss. Who's one of the best pure point guards in the country. Mm-hmm. So replacing that with Nolan Hickman, like we'll see how that works, but they have the guard play. They have a great front court. Drew Timmy is going to be in the running for National Player of the Year once again.
We'll talk about him soon as well.
And they're going to, I mean, people criticize the conference and I understand that, but they're going to run through the WCC. They're going to stack up some really good wins in the non-conference. They're going to get a top two seed probably. And just from like a matchup perspective, I think that obviously benefits them. So,
are they going to beat Michigan State outdoors on a carrier? I guess we'll find out first.
Yes. They're going to beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah, they are. It was a trick question. It was a trick question. We all agree on that. All right, quickly, who is the national title favorite right now? You've probably already made it. I might have missed it on a show or a prediction video or something, but national title prediction on record.
I don't think we've ever expressly talked about this, Alex. I don't think we've said it.
I've said
here's your platform. Have a great time. Go ahead.
Go for it.
Me?
Yeah.
You said you've already done it. So.
Gonzaga.
Okay.
I think this is the year.
Okay.
I saw someone say that the take that Mark Few needs to clear that final hurdle of winning a national title is unfair to him as a coach. And I don't think it is. Like, I think you do chalk up a lot of success as a collegiate coach to whether or not you can win in March. And he wins a ton in March. He just has not cleared that.
Think about the tier he jumps. So I don't want to digress, but think about the tier he jumps. He jumps an entire tier of coaches that, like, think about it. He's on the same tier, essentially, with every coach that's good in the NCAA right now that hasn't won a national title.
He's like Bob Huggins tier.
That's perfect. That's a perfect example.
He'll leapfrog a bunch of other coaches if he wins this. And I think this is the year.
Yep. Like, him and Tony Bennett are close. Like, he's a better coach than Tony Bennett, I think. And Tony Bennett has a national title. So it's really hard to like gauge that and go, okay, you can make your coach tears all you want. That's not what we're here to do. But
Tony Bennett's a better
driver.
I'm with you. Sorry. I meant to get that in like last year on a pod and we never did. And I've been waiting on that joke a little bit.
That's funny. That's
Carl good. Knows. Carl knows. Carl knows.
All right, Carl, national title winner. Is it Gonzaga or is it someone else?
So here's what I'll say about the Gonzaga thing. I'm a firm believer that if you can keep your program at an elite level for long enough, eventually you're going to get one. So I am definitely a believer in Mark Few and the fact that like one of these years, he's going to get a national title. I really believe that. I have picked them maybe the last couple years in some capacity, whether that was in a bracket or in the preseason. Either way, I think I'm going to let Gonzaga be a little more slept on than normal. And I think my preseason pick to win the title is actually the Baylor Bears.
I like that.
Three guard lineup is absolutely disgusting. Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, Keontae George is a stud. We haven't even seen the best of Keontae George. He stuffed the stat sheet, but was very inefficient. Like once he starts hitting his shot, that team is going to be scary. And they still won by like 70 points.
Granted, it was, but
there's something to be said though for like beating the brakes off a team when you should beat the brakes off a team.
That's fair.
And they went out 70. And got it done. Like the spread was like 35 points and they won by like 60. So, and then once Jonathan Chamwechachua comes back from injury, that front court is also going to be really, really nice. Like I think Flo Thamba can hold it down for long enough until he gets back. You also have Langston Love who's coming back from injury off the bench. And he's going to be a very respectable guard in his own right. Scott Drew, they were in position to get back, like make another run at the title last year, but injuries completely derailed their season.
Yes.
And as a result, we got a really, really nice tournament run from North Carolina, right? But they, I mean, I think they're in play for a one seed again this year. I think they're my clear favorites for the Big 12, which is the best conference in college basketball. I just like them, like from a coaching all the way down through the lineup. I really like Baylor.
The one thing, if I could add about Baylor, I just think the wings also need to be mentioned. Like Bridges and Loner too looked really good in that opener. Like you don't really need them for the scoring with that three-headed monster they have in the backcourt, but they are some. They looked really good in their minutes.
It is just it's the team that we saw Baylor win the national title with had that three-guard lineup of Jared Butler and Maceo Teague. And the third, who's the third player that I'm forgetting?
Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, Davion Mitchell, obviously. It's reminiscent of that with the three guards they have now. Plus they had, you know, Mark Vital in the front court, who I think like they have front court pieces that kind of approximate what Mark Vital was to that team. So just like, I can see it. I like absolutely see the path to Baylor being an elite team once again.
So this this next question, I'll skip question three and come back to it since we're on the tournament a little bit. I think this next question is a immediate answer for both of you. It ties into what we just talked about by accident. That's why I like the format of this. If I give you Baylor, Houston, and Gonzaga or the field, who are you taking to win the national title?
Baylor, Houston, and Gonzaga.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I figured. See, I didn't think it would end up. That's why I wanted to do this because I knew you guys felt one way or the other about either the field in that case or one of those three teams. We haven't even talked about Houston yet, and we will. And that's... I ended up falling right into my trap of you were going to take somebody outside of Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga. Houston was in there as like a little wink, wink wild card. But I mean, you both fell right into that. And it's okay. That's fine. Mine is very open out there already. I mean, it's out there on, especially on the clock. I part of their preview series for this year, as well as I think I said it on the show recently, but it's out there. I think UNC is the best team in the country, and I don't think it's close. Like, I think they are just obviously Gonzaga. Let's just be honest for a second. But I think UNC is the deepest, the best, the well, one of the most coached or best coached teams. I'm not repeating any of these takes because at this point they're out there. But also, it's understanding that, like, unless they play Gonzaga in the national title game, I don't think anyone's beating North Carolina in March. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see a team that can stifle them. I don't see a team that can out guard play them. Like you said, guards win in March. Just there's so many things that are there in the depth. Somebody goes down for 15 games in the middle of the season going into ACC play, they're going to be fine. Like like something happens to one of their starters, someone's going to fill right in for right now and be fine for 15 games. Starter gets back in for ACC play. Even if they lose a guy, like they could lose a guy halfway through ACC play and I still think they're fine. So enough about UNC. I think they're the best team. Last night did scare me a little bit. I'll be honest with you. You have to keep in consideration some of that new, you know, opening night stuff. UNCW, I think, is a lot better team than most people will ever realize because they play in the Colonial. They play in the Colonial. Like, who's watching the Colonial much? But at least three of us probably are. But anyway, the UNCW is very good. The game was close. The ACC as a whole last night, State was the only team that beat the brakes off somebody. Granted, Austin Peay's not this, like, outstanding team by any means, but the ACC had some really close games last night. I mean, Cornell took Boston College down to, like, five.
Yeah, I will say Duke won by 27.
Yeah, Jack. Okay, they should
against a pretty decent
against a good A-Sun team,
like a top three team in the A-Sun.
Yeah,
fair. I think a lot of people looking at that schedule did not realize Jacksonville was decent, and I think that was just one of those things when they're like, "Oh, the score maybe," like, and they beat them pretty well. So you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Talking about the tournament, since we're talking about winners, we'll just get down into the nitty-gritty of the weird stuff in a few minutes. But who is this year's St. Peter's team? The mid-major team that can make the Elite Eight. Gosh. And almost like the Final Four.
That's more of a low major, is it not?
Like, oh, okay, you know what I mean. Anybody that's not Power Six is mid-major. Like,
now I gotta. Oh my goodness.
Who is? It doesn't have to be an actual mid-major versus low major. I get what you mean, but like in my head, the way I've always watched college basketball is if it's not Power Six, it's a mid-major. Like I look at all those conferences the same. I don't think there is a, and that's just maybe a hot take for me, but like I just don't think there's a low and mid-major. I think every school that's not a Power Six has a chance to win their conference tournament and then beat anybody in the tournament. That's just how I value the, because once they make the tournament, who cares? Who cares what they were, you know? Like the Colonial, is the Colonial really better than the Big South? Like, I love the Big South. Yeah, it's in my backyard. I get to watch all the Big South teams every week. It's amazing. But anyway, so what mid-major or what St. Peter's team are we seeing this year? I know it's so early to ask this, but it is what it is. Got to make it now so that when you're right, I'll send you the clip. You can blast it wherever you want to blast it. You can be proud of your take.
I know Carl's got a mid-major he'd want to talk about, but I'll get mine out of the way first. I just think, like, if you're asking me a mid-major team that I could see string together a couple wins in March, I'd go St. Louis or UAB, and I think those are safe picks because of their guard play, right? Like Collins and Walker, what else can you ask for between those
Yep.
two teams?
I'm with you on
But
both of them.
I mean, yeah, and like Perkins to St. Louis is ridiculous, and then obviously, but yeah, like I'd lean those two teams because those immediately came to my mind. I can give more thought to like a low major, I think could make a run. But I need to like sit here for 5 minutes and stare at the screen blankly while we just sit in silence. But yeah.
We can reconvene halfway through the year or something, and we'll figure it out. We'll
Okay.
figure out where we are. I mean, granted, that's not as bold if you
Yeah.
can't just pull them out of the air, but I mean, what do you consider? Because I like, for me, like UNC Asheville, like I genuinely, I don't know if you think the Big South is low major versus mid, but like I think UNC Asheville's really good. Like I think they're going to run away with the Big South. I know that's a weird one, and they obviously beat UCF last night. And don't get it twisted, before people come at me in the comments, UCF was obviously missing three starters. I understand that. But like Pember's awesome, and my pick
Yeah,
for
Pember's
breakout
great.
player of the year is also really, really good. There's a lot of stuff there with UNC.
Yeah.
So, Carl. Mid or low or whatever you want to make this question.
Okay, so it's been well documented
Yes.
on TikTok and in writing that I'm a big fan of the Tulane Green Wave this year. I'm
Oh,
absolutely
okay.
buying. The problem with that is that they, like, if you're asking me for a tournament sleeper, it has to be a team that I think is like guaranteed to make the tournament, and I don't believe that about Tulane. I really like them. I think they're going to be really fun to watch, but they have to finish like they have to really do well in the non-conference. They have to basically their season boils down to like how well do they perform against Houston, Memphis, and Cincinnati. Like that's basically their entire season is those six games. And I think there's like a decent chance that they finish like fourth in the American and then don't make the tournament. So my love for Tulane aside, here's what I'm going to say. If you want teams that I think have a legitimate shot at winning a couple games in March as like a double digit seed, I do love St. Louis, but I think they're going to be in like the 5 to 8
Yeah,
seed range
they'll be like
probably.
8-9.
Yeah. So
Fair.
as
I'll
far as
go.
double digit seeds go, I'm going to say whichever team gets out of the MAC, whether that's Toledo or Kent State, I think it's one of those two teams.
There it
I
is.
think
Okay.
either one of them has a really good shot at winning a game, maybe two.
Yep.
Obviously, it's matchup dependent. I really liked Toledo last year. They had Ryan Rollins, who ended up going
You
in the
love.
NBA draft. Just such a gifted offensive player, but he's not there anymore. But they still have a very, very good team. They looked really impressive yesterday against Valpo. Kent State as well. Like they were in a, it was basically a pick 'em against North Texas and they, or Northern Kentucky rather, and they blew them out. Like they have a really, really great backcourt led by Sincere Carey, who could be one of the, MAC player of the year potentially. I was looking at the MAC last year as a conference that could produce one of these sleeper teams, but then Akron ended up winning the conference tournament and it's a one bid league. And of like all the teams in that conference that could get to the tournament, Akron was the one where I'm like, I don't think they can win a game in March. Like of the four or five teams that could make it, I think they're like the least likely to win a game. And then they had to play UCLA. So like from a matchup perspective, they got screwed anyway.
100%.
But I like Toledo and I like Kent State. So I guess I'll just boil
I
it
can
down.
give two. I
I thought
actually.
you were, before you do that, I thought you were going to go
Okay.
with the other MAC, the Metro Atlantic Athletic
Oh.
Conference, and go Iona, the Rick Pitino-led Iona, who, by the
Yeah.
way, was got screwed last year. They just lost a close game in their conference tournament. It is what it is. They should have been the winner of the Metro last year.
But that gave us St.
Anyway,
Peter's, so.
I do have
yeah,
two low
exactly.
majors.
So that's why I'm like, who cares? All right, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna, because I had to go back to my hot takes list. I'd go Liberty and Furman if you want two teams that I think could like
Furman's good.
break.
Liberty, I need to watch more on because I have
Liberty
no
is
idea.
just it's solely on the basis of Darius McGee and coaching. I think there's a world where Darius McGee walks in and they play a three seed. Liberty like gets the 14 out of the A-Sun. Because one of my hot takes is that like it's like a three-pronged approach. So, like I don't want to get into it, but like Liberty wins their conference tournament pretty easily. And then I said they upset somebody in March, and I think there's a world where they're like a 13-14. And Darius McGee is gonna go put up like 35. So it's gonna be like one of those like all-time performances you like point to in 15 years and you're
Nice.
talking to your kid about the Darius McGee game.
I
And then obviously
love
just
it.
like I mean we don't have to talk about Furman, but you bring Sloss and Bothwell back, and Bob Ritchie's one of the best coaches in the country. He's going to get a job call up soon, at the Power Six level. So, yeah.
Here's something I will note very briefly as well. On Veterans Day, Toledo and UAB are matching up. So if you're looking for a good mid-major game to watch,
great game.
I think that's the Barstool Invitational. So I think they're streaming it online. Yeah, but that's a big so mid-major fun. Game.
Friday's going to be good.
Friday's got so many good games. The air carrier game, or whatever you want to call it, is Friday. A lot of really good like mid-major matchups are there. A couple of teams playing like mid-major playing Power Six, and just a lot of just stuff that you wouldn't expect that early, I feel like. And also the fact that I can't believe I'm going to watch NC State and Campbell. I'm an idiot. There's so many good games on TV. While we're talking about sleeper, let's move on to question number five. We are rolling through 20 minutes, five questions. Biggest sleeper in the Power Six to win their conference. You've got to make you pick, because there's six conferences, obviously. If you have multiple, that's great. I can give you mine to kind of warm you up to realize where we are with it. So
yeah, please do that. Yeah.
I think Butler's going to win the Big East. That's my hot take, or bold take, or like sleeper in the Big East. I think Butler can win. I'm not saying they are.
I could see it. I have Manny Bates narratives that I'm pushing. So
okay, easy. All right.
I can't see it because I'm creating narratives I'm pushing.
Exactly. He shouldn't have left state. But no, go ahead and be thinking Butler is my sleeper in the Big East. I think there's no other sleeper I could think of in any other conference.
This is regular season conference, like you're winning, correct?
You're winning conference tournament. Like you picked Virginia Tech last year. I guess sleeper
I can do conference tournament?
Yeah. Sleeper to win the conference. Like to make the tournament because they won their conference in the Power Six. Butler for me.
Then Rutgers. I'll stay with the stuff I've said previously. I'm a big fan of Mulcahy. The 31-7-7 he put up against Northwestern will forever be etched in my mind. And then Amorie is back. McConnell's back, although you don't really know the extent of his injury. But when you get that, you get back a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And that, I mean, you can't really ask for much more. I really buy into the fact that Picheel brought in, kept almost the entirety of his rotation, obviously replacing Baker and who's their best player? I don't know why I'm having a brain fart right now, but
I'll throw it up on the screen right here.
Thank you.
I just saw YouTube.
Carl, can you help me here?
I was looking through
Rutgers'
the
best team.
What did you say?
Rutgers' best player.
Like, why? I literally
Bron Harper Jr.
Yeah, thank you. Harper. Yeah. You lose Harper and Baker. That's tough to replace. And I think they're right now like a middle of the pack Rutgers team, but they really scream one to me that is going to be able to like pick it up in a couple of days and they can string together a couple of wins. And then tournaments are so hard to predict as is. So, but that's why I lean with Rutgers.
All right. Where are we at, Carl?
I do like the Rutgers pick. They're definitely one of the ones that I would look at as well. I think one team that I think not enough people have talked about how potentially good they could be, and to an extent, it's because their conference is a gauntlet. So maybe this isn't like a true pick, but I like Oklahoma State a lot this year. They actually have something to play for this year, and because they're not banned from postseason play anymore, which obviously can help your motivation in terms of the regular season. And even without that, they were still fifth place in the Big 12 last year. And they bring back a lot of that team. They have Avery Anderson back. They have Bryce Thompson back, Caleb Boone. Musa Cisse is going to be, I think, the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. And then they have, what's his name? John Michael Smith. Is that his name?
Right. John Michael Wright.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I'm very curious to see what his contribution looks like to this team. This one would be really tough to have happen because to win the Big 12, you have to beat insane teams to do that. So maybe not a true pick where I think Yeah, I could definitely see this, but I kind of just want to
sleep for a reason. We want to have stuff on record, so when it does happen for some reason, you're going to be like, "Well, I did say could happen, yeah, and here's why," and you laid out the case. So, I mean, gauntlet is the perfect word. The Big 12 is it's just going to be a bloodbath, and honestly, that might hurt potentially someone's chance to win a national title because they just might be so battered and beaten from their conference tournament or conference in general, and it's just like good grief, you know? Like the Big 12 is very good. I'm with you there. I'm trying to figure out which question next makes the most sense for where we are.
That was a horrible pick for like a team. I just wanted to talk about Oklahoma State. I think Rutgers might have been my pick if we're talking like conference tournaments, because I could definitely see that.
No, I don't think either of them are bad. because they're sleepers, and that's the whole point. That's why Butler is the team I'm riding on and see what happens. I'll just do this real quick because I think this one won't take long. Unless you have, I think actually it might in case you have thoughts on them. What team in the top 25? This is where I was referencing having the top 25 available. What team in the top 25 do you like the least this year? Just in general, like team tournament. Like you probably, I knew you guys both had answers. That's why I was laughing.
Like, what team do you like the least? The team that I like hate, or the team that like I objectively do not think they are as good as they're wrecking.
We don't sports hate on this. I'm just kidding. No, okay. The second one.
Yeah. Okay.
Which one do you objectively take wise? What do we think? What team do we objectively least like? Because hypothetically, like for the sake of this question, every team in the top 25 preseason has a chance of making the tournament and winning it. Obviously, that's not true. We all know that. But hypothetically, they're all there for a reason. So what team, Alex, do you think, do you like the least sports subjectively? I don't know how it's to word that. Basketball play-wise, I don't know.
Okay,
Carl, so if you have an answer, you can go too if you want. Whoever feels better about their answer can go.
I mean, I'll go first. I've sort of already, I didn't totally explain this take because I figured we would get to a point where I had to. It's Indiana. I really don't like Indiana. I'm tripling down on that take that I really don't think that they're going to be a top 15 team in the country.
Take him apart.
Here's what I'll say about Indiana. They, from a continuity perspective, there's a lot to like, you know, especially for Mike Woodson's second year. He would have been royally screwed if he had to, you know, figure out an entirely new roster in year two. I think that would have been objectively worse if he didn't bring back like 80% of the minutes from last year. However, this Indiana team was ninth place in the Big Ten last year. They had a below 500 record in conference. They won the two games that they needed to. They absolutely needed to win to get into the tournament. They beat Wyoming, who's a good team for sure. Then they got dog walked by St. Mary's, and that was just unbelievably embarrassing. This team was not ranked in the top 25 at any point during last season. And yet here we are with 80% of the same guys, and I'm supposed to believe they're a top 15 team in the country and the runaway favorite for the Big Ten? Absolutely not. I just refuse to believe that. I respect Indiana fans. They're one of the most passionate fan bases in the country, as I've found out through the TikTok comments. And I, but I'm sorry. I just don't see it. The fact of the matter is, Trace Jackson Davis is going to be really good. Probably going to be an All-American, whether first team or otherwise, right? He's going to produce. He's going to put up like 25 and 10, probably. But this team, their big issue last year was their ability to stretch the floor. Have they fixed that? Probably not. Unless they plan on giving Miller Cott more touches, which I feel like they won't. So they bring in Jalen Huchefino, who's a freshman, who's very, very good, but he's also a non-shooter. And with this team, you have a front court that also doesn't shoot. I'm not saying that you need your front court to shoot to win games, because we've obviously seen good teams with front courts that can't shoot in college basketball. It happens all the time. But if you have two guys who are going to be parked in the paint for the entire game, and you also have like your best perimeter player, who isn't even really a perimeter player, his biggest strength is his ability to get to the rim. You're making it a whole lot harder for him to do that if you have two guys down low who are just going to live down there for the whole game. So unless they plan on giving Miller Cott more touches, I'm kind of concerned that this is just going to be the exact same Indiana that we saw last year. So I will be off my soapbox.
And time. So that, ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome, by the way. I have to give you applause for that. I
need to get that off my chest.
So I clearly today was a long day. So no, that is exactly why, ladies and gentlemen, I have said for now 3 years doing this that however is my favorite word in sports journalism, because the all of the stuff I forgot everything you said before the however. I can't unsee everything you said after however. So I'm with you on a lot of that with Indiana. Okay, Alex, did you already give yours? You have one, but
I do. If I have to, when we did this earlier, I said Auburn, just because I have concerns about like when the season eventually develops. For what it's worth, I don't think a team from this top 25 is going to miss the tournament.
Okay, but that's not necessarily IU. Yeah. Just that, if that's how you're valuing
it. I think it's Auburn and Villanova right now gives me pause because they don't have Cam Whitmore. They beat LaSalle last night by 13. Caleb Daniels had 24. He made 6 threes. But I don't know. Like, Brandon Slater took a lot of jump shots last night, and you don't really want that if you're going to win in March. But listen, Mark Armstrong is that dude. He didn't start last night. I think he's one of those guys that probably gets the role later in the season. But yes, I had to pick one, I'm more like confident Auburn, maybe. Cam Whitmore, I guess a lean Auburn, but like,
I'm with you on, much. I think I'm with you on the top 25. I think after hearing Carr, I think Indiana's my answer now too. So okay. I didn't have an answer coming into that question. There's some of that I just don't have an answer for, and Indiana's now my answer.
Alex and I both expressed our concerns about Villanova as well.
Now that I look at it, maybe TCU or Texas Tech. I don't know. I'd have to look more into it. But
either way. TCU looks like they did yesterday.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
With you there.
You cannot beat Arkansas Pine Bluff by one, respectfully.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why I said that. All right, we'll rapid fire the next couple. Wooden Award predictions. It's just who's going to be the best player in college basketball, who's going to win the Wooden Award? Carl?
Drew Timmy. I think Drew Timmy will win the Wooden Award. It's kind of the same deal with just Gonzaga as a program. Like, I think if you're at that level for long enough, eventually you're going to get it. I think this year is a good year for him to win it too, because he won't have Chet Holmgren in the same front court stealing votes from him. I do think a sleeper, I will say, is Hunter Dickinson. The guy's been he was an All-American as a freshman. He was statistically better in every single way as a sophomore, and yet nobody really talked about it because Michigan was so mid. But I think they've structured the team such that Hunter Dickinson can cook. So I'm going to go Drew Timmy, but my kind of not really under the radar, but somebody who I think has a better chance than people are giving him credit for is Dickinson.
Backdoor pick. I like it. Alex?
I was going to say Timmy. That's not fun.
Sorry. That is fun.
It's just because, like, no,
some of these I want to just rapid fire. Some of these are easy. That's okay to have easy answers.
It's Timmy or it's Marcus Sasser from Houston for me.
So no Oscar Sheboy?
Too many concerns about the knee.
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute then. That's on the list. I didn't think
he's a great player. I don't know. Like, there's just so much smoke around like the situation that it's really concerning.
Actually is fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, you don't know how he's going to return from this, but yes.
So Timmy, and then I guess, sure. Why give a backdoor one?
Also, there's voter fatigue. You want a backdoor pick?
Hey, Carl gave one I wasn't expecting. So that's, I like Dickinson.
Sasser's not a backdoor pick because he's a consensus, like first team All American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dickinson's not.
I like my, no, that's fine. We're going to go with that. We're good.
Sasser is fine. That's good. Yeah. All right. Let's see. This one's, I think, relatively quick. Excluding Gonzaga players and team. So, because clearly they're the best team in this example. What player who plays in the Pacific time zone are you staying up any chance you can get and watching? So Gonzaga doesn't count, obviously. What team and player, and they could be the same team and player, or just in general, you can give me one or the other if you don't care.
I think I know Alex's answer to this, actually.
I'm not sure I know the answer to this.
Is it not Matt
Bradley?
Oh, it's Matt. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Carl. Yeah.
This is why you guys weren't going together.
It is San Diego State, Matt Bradley. I refuse to stay up for the Pac-12.
Dang. Okay, Pac-12. They look pretty good this year, I think.
No,
maybe.
I refuse to stay up for the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, they also should probably be in the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 is going to disband. So it is what it is. So it's obviously Matt Bradley. And
also, there's my backdoor pick for like National Player of the Year. Like, a lot has to go in his favor, but you want one? Like, Matt Bradley. There's a backdoor pick.
I'm with you. I love San Diego State. And if you, I think we started interacting with each other on Twitter just after March Madness last year or whatever, but the last 2 years I picked San Diego State to make the Final Four.
Hey, pick them this year. It's fine.
I'm not waiting for it. Dude, Josh will kill me if I don't. Like, I literally every year he goes, all right, who's it going to be this year? And I go, we get it to like the Sweet 16 in our prediction show, which, by the way, thank you to everyone. That's the most popular show every year. But San Diego State every year, I'm riding with the Aztecs, and they literally have been squandered twice. And I'm so bad. Anyway.
We lost to a decent Creighton team. It's fine.
Is it San Diego State for you too, Carl? Is there any other team?
I think it would be as well. I mean, their defense is amazing, phenomenal yet again. But from all indications, it sounds like the offense is going to be pretty close to matching it this year, which is a little bit of a difference from previous iterations of San Diego State.
Correct.
Yeah, I think I would. We both, Alex and I, had San Diego State as a top 15 team entering the season. I think we're both pretty high on them. If I had to give like a pact, if I had to not exclude the Pac-12 entirely. I would.
I'm per Pac-12, so you could do whatever you want with this.
This isn't an answer for the reason that was like really specified. I would stay up to see on a given night what Kirk Creasa is up to for Arizona.
Oh yeah, like chaos.
You never know what you're gonna get with Kirk Creasa, and just from a pure entertainment perspective, he's somebody that I could see myself being like, yeah, you know, I'm still awake. It's 10:30. It's about to tip. I'll watch Kirk Creasa.
I'd stay up to watch Harrison Ingram at Stanford, by the way, if you want a Pac-12 player.
I like that. That's it. I was actually, like, I'll just be fully transparent. The San Diego State was, I have, like, narratives sometimes when I do these. And that was my narrative when I asked the question. And so thank you for walking into the narrative and letting me have that moment. Sure. So,
also, I'd stay up to watch Frankie Collins if he takes 24 attempts a game like he did last night at Arizona State. Just because I want to see how that unfolds for the Sun Devils and Hurley.
I don't want to be disrespectful to UCLA either. I think Jaime Jaquez is like the best boring player in the country.
I'm with you there.
Like,
yes.
He's like so good, like really, really good. But just, I don't know. I'm not super excited by him. Maybe that's unfair of me to say, but.
Tiger Campbell too. I'd watch UCLA and Harrison Ingram for Stanford. That I should specify.
All good answers. And that's why I was like, I think the West Coast will be a lot more fun. I don't think we're getting the same production we are.
And Oregon's good. Like,
Oregon is. Yeah. I don't think we're getting the same production out of the West Coast Conference that we did last year with like San Francisco and St. Mary and all those teams that just accidentally made
there's
it.
No tomorrow.
So it was just like, okay, Gonzaga's going to beat the crap out of everybody again. And here we go. Yeah. San Diego State was the pick for me too. This one, I can understand how a rabbit hole could happen, but I'm going to not let the rabbit hole happen.
Okay.
Just simple. Are we in or out on expansion of the tournament?
Out.
So out.
Out.
So
all right, out. Let's move on. I didn't think that would, I just wanted to just, I had, it has nothing to do with this season. It's the only one that has nothing to do with
like
this.
Trevor, so you're about to get a
Scott score. Drew is insane.
That's why I was like, I saw the videos and I saw the rants. Like I've seen it all, like from everybody, not just you two. So I was like, I'm with you. I think there's probably four people in the country that want it. And
we don't have anything more to add that, like, we don't have anything to say that hasn't already been said. So
yeah,
which is fair. And if people like, if you're the four sickos out there that want it, then by all means. But you know what though, I'll just say this: I bet that when they went from 32 to whatever 44 or whatever the number was increased before they went to 64 and then 68 or 48, thank you, and then whatever it was with the 64, you know, 64, and then adding the stupid play. I still don't like the first four, and it throws off my whole schedule. And you don't have to make your brackets pick before then. It's dumb. I don't like the first four in. That's not a hot take probably, but I think that we were probably back then thinking the same thing that we were now. But then again, I think this number feels perfect. I think 64 is just so beautiful. And it's just, I haven't told you guys this, I'm getting married that weekend.
Okay. Well, congrats.
Bad idea. Congrats. Oh, thank you, but bad idea. I don't know. Yeah, I could have just shifted it up to conference tournament weekend. I would have been totally fine with that.
No one wants to see a 5-15 Northwestern that is like 101st in KenPom make the tournament. No one wants that. No one wants that.
Like, totally, I'm with you.
Like, the whole Big Ten does not need to make the NCAA tournament.
I'm just kind of like, from like a competition stand, I'm not doing a great job at not letting the rabbit hole happen. But this is my one comment. Okay, this is my one comment. Like a competitive standpoint, if you finish like ninth in your conference,
like Indiana,
you have no business. Yes. You have no business. You have no business competing for a national title, right? Like
Indiana didn't think so.
That should go without saying, I think, right? If there are eight teams in your conference that have, like, over the course of the season established themselves to be better than you, you shouldn't be competing for a title.
You're going to have people push back, though, and they're going to be like, well, but that's what makes the tournament fun, because these nine seeds and these good conferences make it, and then they beat teams. And it's like, but that's not how it should work. The Bryants of the world and the, you know, Kent States of the world should be able to make it and have a fair chance at beating people. The St. Peters of the world. What am I even saying? the small majors, whatever you call them, the low majors, should be able to just make the tournament and obviously beat teams that they should have beat. So anyway, all
right. Yeah. I'll say the structure of it now is such that, like, it's great because we get those upsets where we have the low majors who go on runs, but we're also not seeing teams like, we're also not seeing teams like St. Peter's win the title, right? Like, we're still seeing the teams that are best teams win the title, which I think is what this should be about. It's it's still really entertaining, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, Kansas, I think, deserved to win. Baylor deserved to win, you know?
Yeah, and last year made that take a little nervous, though, because St. Peter's St. Peter's went a lot further than I think. I think after the Sweet 16, we all kind of went, okay, what's happening? Like, why is this happening? I'll never forget it. I know exactly where I was when I was watching it. Okay. Some of these are just complete satire, and I don't expect long answers. The next couple ones are like that. So, what team, and this is more for Carl, what team, player, or topic does Carl make the most TikToks about this season?
Do I need to answer that? Or
it doesn't matter. This was just a satire thing. Just see what he would say.
Alex, I'm curious to hear your answer to this, honestly.
I think in terms of a team being underwhelming and Carl being like, ha, 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 like pulling up receipts, it's Indiana. I think in terms
I'm going to send him every bit of these clips, too. He's going to have all of them. In terms of,
like, sounds he can use, he's already used it. The USC, what happened from James Droz? Carl is I fear that if, like, there are other sounds that, like, James is going to make that just, like, the James Droz sounds are going to be...
They're good.
Beaten
He's so
to a
awesome.
Dead horse. So Carl, I would say...
Care to comment? Care to comment on your own call out there?
I mean, I like to think that I'm a little more... Like, I have a little more tact than... I hope I'm not, like, totally dancing on anybody's grave if I have, like, a really good take like that.
Please do it. It's
I
so need,
you guys can, like, keep me honest because I really don't want to be that guy. But it 10,000 might...
followers, though, either way.
It might end up being Indiana. I could see like Arkansas being a sneaky pick because I think they'll be like
NBA.
I think
draft,
they'll be good in terms
college,
of generating content. Team. Like I think they'll. They I think Arkansas will have some bad losses and also some like really good wins to talk about. So I could see Arkansas being one that I
are they last year's Alabama.
Ooh, I like that.
Alabama's this year's Alabama.
fair.
I like that. All right, we'll get back to actual basketball. Best coaching hire or change of the offseason? That affects this year. Obviously, I figured that was probably understood. But best coaching hire. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Tubby Smith is no longer in High Point. Believe me or not, that actually happened.
So do you want like best hire or best like
best hire.
It's good they got rid of this guy.
I think for the sake of good content, let's go with best hire. I'm curious that more than the other one. I got Tubby Smith leaving, believe it or not, was good for High Point. That's an example I wanted to give, but go ahead.
Go ahead, Carl.
I mean, I think it would be easy to go with Thad Matta for Butler.
Bingo.
I think that's a really good hire. I
wasn't pushing the narrative on that one, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that one would be towards the top of my list. See, I should have done what I did 2 years ago where I actually like went through and gave like a top 5 or 10 ranking or whatever. I didn't do that this year, and I honestly should have because I'd have a bit better of an answer. I like some of the SEC coaching changes. I like Dennis Gates for Missouri. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good one. I'll say that. I'll go Dennis Gates, Missouri.
Alex?
I was gonna say Dennis Gates, Missouri.
Okay.
I think that's just
that's
gonna,
fine.
Like,
no, that's okay.
Like Quanzo Martin had that program in relative obscurity. And I think Gates is going to do, especially like the Mosley pickup, I think Gates is going to do a good job at least of getting them out in the impending future. I also think like relatively you can't get worse than Will Wade in terms of like the cloud surrounding the program. So the fact that Matt McMahon was able to establish a 13-man roster is impressive. And so I wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out here.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one with a 25-foot pole. Not touching that a comment at all. Like I'm just walking away. Like I'm
also,
with you. LSU's
I like the Todd Gold. Tough. I like the Todd Golden Florida hire.
Okay.
I get.
I like it.
I get the concerns from people, but trying
like,
to be positive.
I like Frank Martin at UMass too.
Nice.
I like that one.
I'm with you. Yep. So we talked about this a little bit. So I don't think this will be a super detailed answer. Favorite freshman this year. It can be draft. It can just be in general. It can just be guy that you're watching and enjoying the most.
A guy that I'll enjoy the most is Keyonte George. The one I'm most like excited about as a fan, I think it's twofold. I think it's Tyrese Proctor and Derrick Whitehead. So I want to see how Whitehead returns from the injury. And Proctor had really bad shooting splits yesterday, but he is so composed for an 18-year-old. I think that's a byproduct of him just playing in Australia for all those years. But I'm excited for like that tandem as like a 2-3 pairing for Duke.
Carl?
I'm a big Keyonte George guy, but I'll go Nick Smith. I think it's hard to go wrong with Nick Smith, both as a college player and as a draft prospect. And as someone who is thoroughly interested in both of those things, I like Nick Smith a lot.
Nick Smith or Jarace Walker was my choices there.
Yes. Oh, Jarace wow. Walker's I should have brought one. Him up. I'm a big Jarace Walker
guy. I thought about Jarace Walker, but I left him.
I have not done my big board yet, or at least my top 14 that I do pretty early in the year. And just spoiler, he's very high. Yeah. A lot higher than I think most. So
this class is just stacked. I love Cam Whitmore too.
This class is insane, and I'm so excited to actually start earlier than March. Let's see. Player that most reminds you guys of Jimmer Fredette this year. I'm going to do this every time you come on. Just expect it. Just expect Baylor the stupid. Yes, that's who I thought you were going to say. Is that it, there Alex? That's it? Like, just is that who it is?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe in terms of.
I know it's Carl's favorite player, but I just I can't not do it every time
like
you're
that.
On here.
I like that comp. Like, I don't know. Can we, like,
I think
in terms
if I
of just
thought
scoring
for a couple
output,
minutes, I think if I thought I could come up with a better one, but that's
just
came to mind.
Just tweet me the better one. That's fine. Yeah. just tweet me the better one.
I think it's hard for me to not, like, in terms of scoring output, I feel like I should go Darius McGee. Plus, he just, like, he doesn't shoot it as well, but, like, he does just kind of pull it, you know?
There you go.
Like, he crosses half court, and he crosses half court, and Liberty's whole offensive goal is get him the ball. So,
yeah. All right. And just expect that from now on. Anytime you come on, there's going to be something related to him because obviously you're named after him. Is Gonzaga a better fit to join the Big East or the Big 12? Both have been rumored in the last year. I'm genuinely curious where you guys have ended up on that. And that's okay. I'm going to cut out all the dead silence if you spend 30 minutes figuring it out because it's a tough question for me.
They are a better fit in terms of the makeup of the conference because for the Big East because there's no football, and football is still king. I think in terms of me, I think Gonzaga joining the Big 12 would be spectacular. I just Texas, Oklahoma leaving. Who cares? You're adding like you add Gonzaga and now your top three are Gonzaga, Baylor, and Kansas plus
your other teams that are still there, I guess.
Plus, like, the rest of the conference that is still good. So,
yeah.
I would say Big East, like, is a better fit because geography doesn't matter at this point.
That was my only small pushback was they're 3,100 miles from the farthest team in the Big East.
Yeah, but, like.
3,100 miles, dude.
Apparently
that's
geography
nuts.
Doesn't matter, so.
It doesn't. No, look,
UCLA and Rutgers are about to be in the same conference. So.
I was the first guy, like, when it came out to be, like, in my basketball circles, group chat talks, whatever, to be like, this is stupid, like the Big East part of it. I was like, everyone was like, this is amazing, and I understand all the basketball stuff, but I was like, this is idiotic. They're literally going to fly for a, quote, you know, they don't do back-to-backs in college, but they do those Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. Like, they could have potentially played Rutgers. I'm just throwing, not Rutgers, you know what I mean? You said Rutgers, it threw me off. They could potentially play Providence. We're great, like, no major airport there, right? Let's play Providence, and then 2 days later have to play, I don't know, like, whoever they end up, I don't know, it's just stupid. Anyway.
St. John's, they got to get from Rhode Island to New York.
Yeah. Or, like, at that point, like, how does the conference shape where they're the only team out there? So, like, they're traveling home to play a home game against another one of those East teams. I don't know. I'm besides the point. Carl, Big 12, Big East.
Yeah, I agree with Alex that from a just makeup of, like, the conference and, you know, the kind of school that it is, I'd say the Big East, like, you don't have to have a football program there. It's all, like, a bunch of Catholic schools. But I think from, like, a basketball and just, like, program perspective, I think it's easily the Big 12. Like, if they join the Big 12, not only would it make more sense from, like, a logistical perspective, but also I think that would really root Gonzaga as they're not going anywhere as far as, like, a nationally relevant program. Because, like, if you think about it, how many like five-star recruits are going to the Big 12 versus the Big East? I'm pretty sure the difference is pretty substantial. Like, I think from like a recruiting perspective, like that's how Mark Few, I think he'd continue. I mean, he's still doing it in the WCC, so maybe that's a non-factor. But I just think like from a recruiting perspective, it'd be much better. From a competition perspective, it'd be much better. And it would also just shut up the haters because they'd still be good. So
yeah, I'll pull it up literally right now, the 2022 recruits, to just see. Big 12, one, two.
Do you want me like to count Houston? Do top 10. Yeah, because they're going to be in it. Okay, you have to. Yeah. Do a top 10, 15.
I guess I'll drop Texas in, so I guess it doesn't matter. So then just two. There is not, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, there is not a top 25. Or I guess Villanova, so it's 2-1, right? Like you had Cam Whitmore, and then you have Drace Walker and Keontae George. So 2-1 if you go to the top 25.
Is Grady Dick outside the top 25?
I think he's just outside.
Okay.
I think he's like...
he's top 20, so that's on me.
Oh, you're good. That's fine. I'm not. I thought he was close. He's close, though. I knew he was in that weird...
Yeah, 3-1
range. The recruiting thing is sort of a... It's not like a great... It's a wash. It's not a great point just because, like, it is... It's pretty fickle, like, year to year. Like, there could be a year where, you know, Villanova has an insane recruiting class, right? But... It is the best basketball conference in college basketball, right? Like that's kind of been established for a couple of years. So just that's kind of where that was coming from.
Yes. Nice.
All right. Have you two ever heard of start bench cuts? If you're on NBA Twitter, you know what I'm referring to. They're less common in college basketball Twitter. We should all be part of the movement that starts them. I think they're cool. And I think college basketball makes them even cooler. Start bench cut, Oscar Tshiebwe, Drew Timmy, Armando Bacot.
Are they all healthy?
Yes, 100%. Every time I give one of these scenarios, yes, they're 100% healthy. Yes. If you're listening to this on Apple, Spotify, and all of our lovely podcast platforms, please come watch this on YouTube and watch Carl just completely fall out of his chair almost from thinking about this.
Okay, well, if they're healthy, Tshiebwe, I'm starting.
Okay. I figure that's why you asked, but I'm not. Okay. I want to hear the next one.
If they are 100% healthy, Tshiebwe is starting.
Okay. You're not going to like my answer.
I'll bench Timmy. I will reluctantly cut Bacot.
Reluctantly is a strong word. I'm starting Bacot. I'm benching Tshiebwe and I'm cutting Timmy. And I'm probably going to lose hundreds of followers, but that's okay. North Carolina Twitter, you got me, right? Carl, I went off the edge before you did. So I gave you some leeway there. You can say whatever you want now and it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
I just predicted Drew Timmy to be the National Player of the Year, so I'm gonna start Drew Timmy.
Yes, I love that you took that into consideration.
I'm gonna bench. See, the injury thing, like if you had said they're just in their current state, I'm easily cutting Oscar Tshiebwe.
Of course,
yeah, he's fully healthy.
This fully knee healthy. Thing concerns me so much, but if I'm going to bench Tshiebwe and cut Big. I hate that.
He had 19 and 15 last year. We can't cut Tshiebwe.
We can't.
You just said, you're like, as soon as you said cut Bacot, you couldn't even get it out of your mouth before you already backed up from it. You were like, I'm going to cut. I can't do that.
This dude's run in March was historic.
I mean, I think he's the best player out of the three. I'm sorry. Like, I know that's a hot take, but I just think he's the best player out of the three.
That is a take.
It is. But, well, if you thought that one was hard, I've got another one. Nick Smith, Keontae George, Derek Whitehead. The three main guards, and I know Whitehead's 6'6".
And they are indeed healthy?
All three of them. Yep. Two healthy and a wild card, but yes, they're all healthy. Yeah, you thought the big was hard. I told you I wanted to come with it this time, and I think I didn't think these were going to – I thought some of these
I'm terrified of Arkansas Twitter.
Genuinely concerned.
I'll just make it easy. I'd go start bench cut in that order.
So Smith, for the listeners, Smith, George, Whitehead. That, I think, is a take because Whitehead's amazing when he's healthy.
I'm not happy about it, but...
I'm not happy about it. At least you preface that. Thank you. And Arkansas Twitter's not going to come after you, right? Right, Alex?
I'm going to go... Because I think they are different.
They are. This one was harder. Gosh. I wanted to get three guards, but there wasn't really three freshman guards that I could just push up there that were like all in that Nick Smith type range, height, scoring ability, da 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 da. Like I wanted to go with freshmen specifically to make it even harder. So Whitehead, I think, makes this harder than it should be.
Man, Trevor, these are brutal, man.
Can I tell you why I did the first one though? The first one, I genuinely think Baycott's the best player, and I wanted to push that. So that's why I was okay. Like, well, I really like Baycott, and I wanted to make sure that's out there. And at this point,
I can respect
I'm tripling.
Push
I'm
sure.
I'm tripling down on Carolina. Like at this point, I'm gonna eat my sock if they suck. Like it is what it is. So
that's fine. We had a guest who Brian Ralph. He said that they're gonna lose. Like he thinks at most two games.
I saw that, and I retweeted all over the place. Like I was like, I'm with
crazy.
Him. Very carefully, I did.
That'd be insane.
So. Alex is still think we're talking and like getting it out, and Alex is still thinking about this one.
God.
We haven't even moved on yet.
This is so tough. This is like balancing trying to be a sensible basketball analyst and being a fan.
You can do exactly what
basically
you
what
want.
He's saying is like he knows he needs to cut Whitehead, but he can't himself to do it.
Yes, I love how you basically turn into his translator.
I don't think either George or Smith bring like the defensive versatility Whitehead brings.
Fair, I would push.
That's got to be a concern, right?
Yeah, George. I
like you
push
can
a little
you
on
can
that,
you can somewhat get the same offensive production from Smith and George. Dare I say
you definitely can? Yeah, no, I'm with you. I would push back a little on George on the defensive end, but yeah,
I'll think George. Okay, in an effort to be sensible, and because I've pushed the George agenda, start George, bench Smith, cut Whitehead.
And now Duke Twitter's going to kill you.
And then I'm going to jump off a building, and they're going to bring Derek back onto the team as a small forward. I don't know. Like
I can't believe – I want to move on, but I can't believe that you are more afraid of Arkansas Twitter than Duke Twitter. Like, I'm perplexed
like, I'm
by
on
that
Twitter.
Comment.
I'm not scared of those people. Like, I'm on Duke funny. Twitter. I'm not scared of them.
That's true. I forgot you're a Duke fan. All right.
Yeah.
Hopefully these next couple aren't that hard. True or false, Michigan wins the Big Ten and – is a top three seed in the tournament.
False.
Okay. I figured that was pretty simple. And we've cleared that narrative already this podcast. So
well, it was
very
the conjunction. Yeah, it was that little conjunction there. You had it.
One or the other could happen no matter what. So it's kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
I think if you gave me either of those individually, I think I'd say false as well.
Okay. That's good. I mean, and we've already, like I said, we went through with the Hunter Dickinson and stuff. Why and why not? Because we've talked about the Big Ten pretty well, I think, and they just were kind of a team that unless you brought up Dickinson in that conversation, we might not have talked about them. So I wanted to make sure they got fair credit because I do think they're very good. Strongest mid-major conference. Strongest is subjective. How do you value it? Strongest mid-major conference. This is where, Alex, you can start getting weird with your low to mid-major, however you want to value mid-major. But basically non-Power 6, what we all agree is the Power 6. So non-strongest mid-major conference. I love how much thought you guys are putting into this.
I'll go A-10.
Oh, that's okay. I like that.
Dayton and St. Louis are both potentially top 25 teams this year. Davidson will still be like decent.
They'll be very good, I hope.
I mean, George Mason, year two of Kim English, I'm excited for. UMass could be sneaky good. VCU is really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now that you say it. Yeah, I'm with you, I think.
I'm going A-10.
You're giving me non-Power 6?
Mm-hmm. Best non-Power 6.
Well, then I'm going to cop out and say the American.
That's what I was thinking. But then again, I think I'm reached a point where I think Tulane, Houston, and Cincinnati are the only three decent teams in that conference this year.
Memphis is fine.
Yeah, that's four teams, I guess. Memphis I like his A-10. I mean, Carl was convincing with his A-10 case, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, there's
no. I would have liked for the sake team. Of like being different because I don't think I've done that enough.
So I'll throw out a couple. I think. I'm just like scrolling through them now. I think Conference USA might be really fun. I just don't know if there's enough. If we're talking best, kind of hard when you have two teams that are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the MAC.
MAC, I'm with you there.
Because I'm intrigued. Like the Eastern Michigan experiment's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We already talked about Toledo
and Kent State.
I just feel bad for people who don't watch the MAC.
Yeah. In terms of entertainment value, the MAC is up there. If you're just talking like best basketball conference, I'd go with 10.
And then I think the Mountain West still has some okay teams, but they've lost a lot of guys the last couple of years. All right,
Wyoming, San Diego State's a great top two, though.
That was a really hard, one to look at after I got past the S's there. All right, let's go. Let's flip. What'd you say?
I said Purdue covered. That was just one of the daily picks.
Nice live on the show. I like it.
I'm on air.
No, let's go.
I'll flip it around the other way. Yeah, I hope you guys honestly go on some insane streak because I'll start betting it after the third week if you do. Weakest Power 6 conference. If we're going strongest mid-major. Okay. Right. Okay. Screw Pac-12. That question. Move on.
It's a Pac-12.
Cal and Oregon State are, I think, easily the worst two Power Six teams. And like USC just lost to Florida Gulf Coast, and they're maybe the fourth best team in the Pac-12.
And that's contingent on like,
we guys on the clock and myself did a skins draft, which, by the way, you guys are invited to that next year, because I want to get next year. I have an idea, and I haven't told them the shit, so I'm just going to tell you now. I'm going to get as many college basketball creators as I can together for this skins draft. And I don't know if you know what a skins draft is, but you basically pick a team's wins, a team's losses, and you get points for every team, every, you know, win in that category and every loss in that category. So if I think Carolina's the best team in the country, I obviously drafted UNC wins. If they lose games, I don't lose points, but I just don't get the points for it, right? So the Pac-12 had the most losses drafted in that draft, and we did 12-team rosters. So okay, I'm with you on the Pac-12. I'm like I said, they're sneaky good at the top, whatever. That's flat.
All right, I'm going to listen to that. I'm very intrigued by this idea.
It's fun. It's a really cool league. Long story short, there's some guys in Nashville that do it, a bunch of country music singers, Bobby Bones, some Nashville Predators players. It's a really cool league. They do it with every sport. Like every major sport. So I thought college basketball was fun because there's so many teams. We actually limited to the Power Six, and I think we did the American, and I think we did the West Coast Conference, because Gonzaga, it would have been stupid not to have him in there. I felt bad cutting out the A-10, but it is what it is when you do that. When I get now, next year we're doing every conference, and we're going to have as many college basketball creators together at one time to see how ridiculous this draft gets. So
I'd like to draft Manhattan. Years,
yeah, Manhattan losses. Right, you have to clear. To be fair, you have to clarify what
Hartford
you're picking.
Losses.
When this is so good. The Big South will be like drafted five different teams. No, you'll have to actually designate. So, like, if you take the wins of a team, you can also take the losses, but just know that that would be stupid if it was like a team like Duke. Obviously,
nice.
So you have to designate what you're taking.
I just won a 16-15 team.
That's actually not a bad idea. No one did
that.
That's my goal.
Only three
of us.
Draft a bunch of mid teams.
Everyone went really hard on wins. Everyone went really hard on losses. So I think you guys would enjoy it. You got 365 days to do your research.
All right.
We've already hit on this a little bit, but blank is the best defensive team in the country, and they will be a problem for teams come tourney time. Assuming that this team makes the tournament, obviously. We've highlighted at least three or four of them that I think you're probably going to say. Any of those answers are going to be good.
Right.
You have to look it up. I like this. You're having to actually clarify what you're doing. You're like, I thought there's not a sure answer. I think it's good.
I just need to look at a list of not of like
we've talked about all of them. So I think like your St. Mary's, your Texas Tech. I would even throw Texas in there, depending on the
San Diego game, State and Texas.
San Diego State
came to mind.
Yeah, that's where I was like, it's one of those teams.
And Virginia, just because it's Virginia, the Pac line. Yeah. Tony Bennett.
So the answer is what? So what would the answer be?
That's fair.
I appreciate the thought of this. I really do, guys.
Gosh. Darn it.
Carl, do you have yours? He's still thinking.
I'll go Tennessee.
Oh, see, this is good. That's a good answer, but I did not expect it. So.
That's going to be the best thing about Tennessee this year is their defense. So
how many points did they give up last night? I got some texts about how bad they looked. I didn't know if it was it defensively.
Well,
or
it was just I think it was a relatively low scoring game.
It was because they took 44 threes and they took 21 twos.
Okay. Well, that'll do it. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm with you. Alex?
They won 75-43.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
Okay.
They didn't cover.
I love the cover mattering. Like,
it's funny because we throw picks out there every day, but it's more just like for the game of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the vibes.
Perfect. Yeah. 2 days in a row. I'm with you.
I'll go San Diego State.
Nah, I'm with you there. All right.
An underrated one is
Houston.
Houston.
I'm gonna go Houston. Yeah. Actually,
underrated
no,
one
switching.
Is Creighton.
Houston.
Creighton.
Creighton
I like
was
Creighton,
like
Houston.
Insane defensively last year, and it was all freshmen. And for like a team full of freshmen to be that good on defense is like unheard of.
I don't think they ever slipped out of the top 25 in KenPom defensive, whatever it was, whatever that
defensive efficiency.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I have to look at NBA stats and KenPom. So it's really, I get all these stats mixed in my head and it's so annoying. All right. The last two, this one's really quick. And then the last one I want to have plenty of fun with. So saddest, most angry or most miserable, however you want to word it, fan base in the Power Six. What fan base is the most just, they sulk every time they go to school or go to work?
Northwestern. I sulk every time I walk through those Walsh Ryan media doors.
Oh my god.
This is no, crazy.
I mean, that's like, a good answer, I guess.
Like saddest?
I think implied in the question is that there's like expectations at some level.
Maybe. Oh, if that's how you want to view it. Yeah.
Well, then if there's expectations,
then Northwestern. No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, every year I go in with such high expectations under Chris Collins. If there's expectations of winning and am I projecting them to be sad or they are currently sad?
What fan base to you is the most sad? Is the most just distraught by their team's whatever? I don't know. I thought about this because I couldn't come up with an answer. That was why I asked like, it.
Yeah, like if it's a fan base that is the most sad, I think because like historically they have expectations, Louisville will just be in a massive rut.
So right now Louisville's in a rut. I'm talking about right now.
Obviously. Well, I mean, so, yeah. You lose to Lenoir Rhyne.
Which, by the way, North Carolinian here, they are not a stout defensive Division II school.
They're not.
They are not a stout Division II school.
They're not. You can't lose to Lenoir Rhyne in scrimmage play.
They almost lost to Chaminade, too.
They did. Yeah. They almost did, yeah, by four.
So, yes, I shall say Louisville because they are a team that has won three or four national titles.
Okay. Carl?
I think there's a couple different places I could go with this. I think, like, Georgetown – because I'm fairly local to there, and that is like they have such a rich history with their program.
I like that.
They're coached by the greatest player in program history, and
you're
they're
six.
Just not good. So there's that. I think you could maybe go with like one of these Big Ten teams that hasn't gotten out of the first weekend in a while. So you could go like Illinois or Iowa, maybe. If you want a program that's just like, a fan base that's just at war with itself, I think Kentucky is the runaway answer with that because so many of them, like every year, they're just like, we need to fire Cal. It's like, why would you do that? That's a horrible solution to the problem that you have. Yeah,
I think
Nebraska probably
is a good choice too. Nebraska,
I'd say just like saddest, like most depressed. I'd go Georgetown. Just the
yeah, if it's sad, we've got Cal, Northwestern, Nebraska.
Yeah, there's a ton. I like where you went with it, though. I like the Georgetown one, and I like where we went with that. So
Pitt is a decent answer as well.
Yeah. I like the Louisville one. I like the
You're gonna like this last one. So question number 21. It's been a long but fun episode. It's actually not been that long. It's only like 110. So all right. And this is genuinely serious. I'd love to hear this.
Oh.
You both obviously, for those that are new here, have allegiances to a favorite school, as you should as a college basketball fan. Alex, like he stated, is currently at Northwestern and doing media work there, it sounds like. And then Carl, as unfortunate as it is, we still get along. You're a Maryland fan. I'm just going to go with Alex first because it sounds like you're around the team a ton. I wanted you to give me where you think Northwestern actually finishes and try to get it right. And then I want you to, in the same vein, I want you to 30-second elevator pitch me how they can win the Big Ten. Carl, just you have longer to think about it. You have the same exact question.
It's so cruel of you to do this to us.
I'm a State fan.
Zero chance to win the Big Ten.
I'm a State fan. The ACC, they're not winning the ACC. So I'm not doing it, but I'll just tell you that they, no chance they do it. Northwestern, where they
finish 12th.
Okay.
30-second elevator pitch.
I'm not looking at a timer, but I'm just going to give you assumptively a 30-second elevator pitch.
Okay. Yeah. Boo Booey ascends to the heavens as the greatest collegiate point guard of all time. We night in and night out disregard opening night last night. He will shoot an efficient 60% from the field and 50% on threes, all of which are going to be pull-ups off of high pick and rolls with Titus Verhoeven. Chase Audige turns in to the greatest two-way player since, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard. And I'm just projecting, you know?
You know, I'm with you. Just vibes. Go ahead. You're good.
Chase Audige averages 15 and 10. The Big Ten as a whole falls into this decrepit state.
It disbands.
Kevin Warren blows up the Big Ten headquarters outside of Chicago. And Chris Collins makes a deal with the devil.
a deal with the devil.
And Northwestern will go 12-8 and win the Big Ten. Because everyone beats each other. Everyone finishes 10-10, but Northwestern beats Nebraska twice, who finishes 8-12. and Northwestern wins the Big Ten. That is how that happens.
All the devil agreement aside, like the last few seconds of that were actually pretty convincing.
It shouldn't be at all. Actually, they don't have a front court.
All right.
Yeah, I do. You're right. Robbie's a nice guy though, so he put up 20 last night, so I'll stymie the criticism in that regard.
Carl, where does Maryland finish in the Big Ten? And then, by God, somehow don't make a deal with the devil. Why do they win the Big Ten?
Maryland is a heat-seeking missile for ninth place in the Big Ten. Woo!
12th and 9th.
Yep.
Go Terrapins.
Go Terps, baby. Here's the elevator pitch for Maryland, all right?
I'm sending this to
Ryan. We have Jameer Young coming in. He averaged 19 points a game for your Charlotte 49ers last year. He was a three-time all-conference member in the Conference USA. Every single part of that is going to transfer to the Big Ten. There is no part of his game that will be left behind. You have Donald Carey, who's like a career 38% shooter, coming from one of the worst programs in the country in Georgetown. Every bit of that is going to translate to the Big Ten. Ignore the fact that he shot 1-for-6 from three last night. Don't worry, it's coming. The shots are going to fall. Hakeem Hart was underutilized in all 3 years of his career under Mark Turgeon. They never knew how to use him correctly. Kevin Willard is going to unlock the part of his game that goes 7-for-8 from three once a year and then disappears for the rest of the season. But he's going to do that in most games this year. You heard it here first. Dante Scott is making the all-conference team in the Big Ten. He's the best player on this team. And Julian Reese is a former top 50 recruit who is not being talked about nearly enough. He's just going to destroy the other bigs in this conference. He's going to just manhandle Trace Jackson Davis and Hunter Dickinson. Other places in the Big Ten, Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana are all going to get busted in a surprise FBI investigation for improprieties within their program, and they will be banned from the postseason. Okay. So at that point, you just have to beat like Ohio State and Michigan State. And I mean, who's really sold on those teams, right? So obviously Maryland, ninth place, but if we're being honest, should be the favorite to win the Big Ten.
Should go 19-1 with a loss to Northwestern on February 26th.
Bingo.
19-1 loses to Northwestern.
Losing the last game of the season. I don't even know who we play. Last game of the season to Nebraska because we're resting all our starters.
For the Big Ten tournament, which you sweep in ample fashion.
Well, 2 minutes later, that was a really convincing case on Maryland. I appreciated the effort from both of you. And for some reason, I'm convinced you already had that prepared. I don't know why, but thank you both for being ample prepared for all of that. Fellas, that was a lot of fun. I do want to give you your closing remarks because, A, last time we went really, really long and it was a lot of fun and we had to get out quickly. But I do want to say, first of all, congrats on 10K plus on TikTok. That was the other part I wanted to lead with it, but then I realized how much time it might take, so I wanted to make sure I hit it at the end as well. Congrats on 10K on TikTok, and all the shout outs and stuff are well deserved. And obviously you're getting one now and will as well when this goes up, but keep killing the basketball game with college basketball. I really appreciate all the stuff you guys are doing. Alex, I love all the live tweets from the Northwestern games, whether it's any sport right now, technically, but basketball I'm looking forward to as well. Obviously they'll be on, I'll be on an ESPN app looking at the score, but I'll actually be looking for your live tweets of the Northwestern game. So
thank you.
Closing remarks, whatever you guys would like to say, plugs, etc., it'll all be down below as well, so it will support you down there. Carl,
Alex, go for it.
Oh well, plug the TikTok at Jim Arrange Pod, plug the Twitter at Jim Arrange Pod, follow all of our socials, follow us on Spotify. You can go watch our YouTube videos on Vendetta Sports Media. Personally, I guess I'll plug my work at the Daily Northwestern. If you for whatever reason want to be sad, just start reading my coverage around January. I'm sure that's when it will dip. And then you can follow me on Twitter for way too many Northwestern related sports tweets, which will also make you sad unless I'm watching field hockey. So
field hockey. That's great.
Yeah.
And almost to win against Ohio State last Saturday. So Carl.
Yes. Very,
45 mile per hour wind.
Yes. Very true.
Carl.
Yeah. You can, as Alex said, follow our socials at Jim Arrange Pod pretty much anywhere. Now that YouTube has like handles now, so that's a thing, I guess.
It is very weird. I'm with you.
Yeah. Check us out on Spotify. That's probably the easiest, or YouTube, I guess, is the easiest place to find it.
The easiest place to find it. is right here. It's right. It's all going to be right here. Everybody will be able to see it. It's going to be right below us. We're good.
You can find my written stuff at Busting Brackets. Yeah, I think that's about it. I will say for anybody who's listening to this who has not yet taken advantage of Trevor's yesterday in the NBA series, as someone who is basically exclusively paying attention to college basketball games, the sheer utility of that series is through the roof for me. So I would just like to plug that as well if you're not on board.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun learning how TikTok works. I was just doing pod clips, which, by the way, you know, a lot of fun things were said in or out of context. You'll be getting some of those clips / you'll be seeing your faces on TikTok again, because you've said some awesome things. And I think if they come true, I think you deserve the credit, both of you. So look forward to those clips coming out. But thank you. I appreciate that. All right. It's been a lot of fun. College basketball, obviously, please check out everything you see on the screen from myself, as well as all of their stuff will be below. The question of the day, don't forget, national title pick in the comments. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places, Facebook, whatever. It's been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you. This has been the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett. This is Carl and Alex. We'll see you later.